In a way, aren't we all Spartacus?
It's Flicks and That with Steve Newell.
And if I thought it was the studio ephedrine that got me out of bed this afternoon, that's come at the perfect time. Good old jaunty bed.
Welcome back, Steve. We missed you last week.
Yeah, well, work commitments going straight into being flued out, but I'm glad that I'm glad that I've made it in today.
We're so glad to have you.
You know what? Yeah. We've got some movies to talk about.
Yay!
I'm going to do a bit of reminiscing back to the olden days of growing up and spending way too much time in the video store during the VHS era. And just all the stuff, think about all the stuff I soaked up that was just the covers of movies, like long before I saw them.
Right.
And one of those films was a movie called The Toxic Avenger. Like, I can see it plain as day. It's like, it's on one of the upper shelves. It's not in the dodgy section. It's just like in the, it's in the horror section. But the cover's got this like mutated guy with like a green mutant face, and he's holding a mop. He's wearing a tutu. Wow. The film's called The Toxic Avenger, and it's got a red, it's either R16 or R18, it's got a red sticker on it, so it means that it's like the gnarly shit, right?
Right.
So as a youngster, I was like, whoa. Then years later, I eventually saw this film, and I think it probably is one of the reasons, it was one of the earliest films I can think of where like low production values, low budget, and being on a movie side, even though technically it might not be a masterpiece, first kind of struck me as being its own kind of creativity that you could take a lot of enjoyment out of, as opposed to just the polished Hollywood end of the movie spectrum. Cut to 2025, there's a new movie out called The Toxic Avenger, and like myself, the filmmaker who's brought this back to life had a kind of similar experience, similar age group, also kind of grew up in that VHS era of being surrounded by artwork and that stuff sort of permeating your brain. And then just sort of, for him it was a friend's older brother was like, you guys got to watch this movie. And it prompted them to start making movies in their backyard with a VHS camera, wanted to learn all the tricks of how to do special effects and stuff. The guy I'm talking about, his name's Macon Blair. He's probably best known as a character actor. His best friend, Jeremy Saulnier, is a director who's made films like Green Room and Rebel Ridge. So it's kind of, you can kind of see how like the creative journey for these guys started with these interesting origins. And it's in a CG era and a IP frenzy era where like everything under the sun's being remade or reconstituted. It was interesting for me to see what they got right or maybe not so right with Toxic Avenger, and I'm really pleased to report that it carries the ethos of that kind of silliness and creativity. It sat on the shelf for a couple of years, and I'm not sure if this is the actual reason, but the version of events I've heard is that the studio didn't really know what to do with the film once it was made. Like, it's got guys getting their arms torn off, it's got geysers of blood, it's got like full-on gnarly gory B-movie special effects, and once again in New Zealand it does carry an R rating, so it's doing all the good stuff, guys. That's what we want from this. Weirdly, Toxic Avenger had a whole bunch of sequels. It even had a kids cartoon, so there's a lot of places that this character can go. I'm really glad they held the line. Appearing in this film, Peter Dinklage plays the janitor who becomes the Toxic Avenger. Does a lot of work up top of the film, kind of, dare I say it, actually adding some kind of heart and pathos into this thing. The main baddie is Kevin Bacon, playing a way over the top businessman. There's toxic waste everywhere. There's corporations that don't give a shit about people. There's Elijah Wood kind of looking like Danny DeVito doing the penguin.
Yeah,
it kind of looks like Danny DeVito playing the penguin in Batman Returns. He's kind of hunched over. He's very pale. He's got long, stringy hair, but not much of it. I got Danny DeVito in the penguin. Results may vary. Also mentioned this today. It's in cinemas. It's a fun movie to see with a crowd because it's kind of got that everyone wants to get on the side of the movie or bail. It's like it's an in or out proposition, I think, this one. But it's one of a number of films that have kind of passed through cinemas in the last couple of weeks that probably haven't gotten much attention either from a media point of view or at the box office. A couple of these I've still got to catch up with myself, but guys, if you see something that's out and you don't know what it is, I beg of you, that's the time to find out, because that's where so much of the most interesting stuff is sitting in the release schedule at the moment. Is not the sequels, not the requels, not the not the big obvious stuff that's getting advertised to you, but there's a lot that's not even cracking the top 10 at the box office is worth at least considering checking out. On the other front, if you're into something to watch at home, took me a minute, but I've gotten into Alien Earth, which is playing on Disney Plus. This is has new episodes releasing weekly, and I'm always a bit skeptical of a new Alien property. I think also given my age and background, that's it's a franchise, it's a universe that means a lot to me as a movie watcher. Alien and Aliens being two very formative films for me. They have made a lot of bad entries in this universe, but with Fargo the TV series is Noah Hawley at the helm. I'm really enjoying what's being served up so far. It's kind of bringing lots of really good threads from the film universe. I typically don't like a prequel, but it's got interesting stuff to say, and I just hope it doesn't tie everything up in a neat little bow at the end, so it's like, there, now you know everything about everything, because we don't need to. It's going to kind of be scarier if,
sometimes it's better to be confused.
Totally, and I think the idea that the idea of humans humans traveling between planets, between solar systems, but still being kind of working class, and it just being the start of that process is a really interesting setting. Those people wouldn't figure all their shit out. Like, it's just stuff's going to happen to them. Let's see where this goes. But I think one of the beats of this show that I've liked the most was, it caused an interesting discussion online. One of the main characters who's a self-described boy genius. Lots of people call him a boy genius. He's the head of a big tech company, one of the five companies that's kind of ruling the earth at this point. Sort of shades of, but a little bit of tech bro to him, I guess, although he's a little bit younger than those real life examples. This is my level of nerdiness. He misquotes, he misattributes a quote that, to paraphrase, is along the lines of, at a sufficiently advanced level, technology is indistinguishable from magic. Says it's an Isaac Asimov quote, a famous science fiction author. It's not, it's Arthur C. Clarke, and the internet was like, oh, this show is stupid. And then it was like, oh, maybe that character's stupid. And as yet, I haven't seen this confirmed one way or the other, but I laughed because I thought it revealed that this guy wasn't quite the genius that he said he was. So let's take that as a win for the show and a win for my nerdery. And, and with that, I will sign out.
Beautiful. Thanks so much.
Real orchards use star wipes.
That was Flicks and That on 95BFM.